Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply, in-app only.
This is Adam Carriker on the Ticket.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com, here's your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome, everybody, into Adam Carriker on The Ticket. As always, hope you're having a glorious Friday. Hope you have a wonderful case of the Fridays. If you've never seen the movie Office Space, go check it out. They don't have a case of the Fridays there. They got a case of the Mondays. Nobody wants a case of the Mondays. So I'm wishing you all a glorious case of the Fridays. Now, as always, it's a loaded show. I mean, it really is. It's crazy. This should just be called The Loaded Show. Just take my name out of the show. Just call it The Loaded Show, because it is. It's always loaded. All right, here's some of the topics at hand. Nebraska's quarterbacks, they speak. I'll be honest, they didn't say a whole lot, but they did speak. The quarterback's coach speaks as well. The offensive coordinator speaks. He talks about what they want to emphasize the most and improve on offense going forward into the future. If I'm going to be honest with you, he's not wrong in the area that we need to improve. Let's not forget the run game first. He didn't say that. I'm just saying, let's not do it, whether we say it or not. Okay, then we're going to talk Keisei Tominaga. He basically set the three-point competition on fire last night. Entertaining, as always. Dynamic. Little showboating, which I love in a three-point competition. All right. Fred Hoiberg, Coach of the Year. Well-deserved. By the way, National Coach of the Year. But when it comes to the Big Ten, co-Big Ten Coach of the Year? Something doesn't add up there. But congratulations to Coach Hoiberg on winning the National Coach of the Year award. All right. A couple of Nebraska men's basketball players have said they're coming back to Lincoln. Chat about that real quick. Chat about just some brief expectations for next year's team. Let's be honest. There's going to be more comings, more goings, more things that change. So it's going to be brief. But the biggest things I think they need to improve on in order to make next season just as good, maybe better than this past basketball season. Okay. Then let's chat about, and I wasn't going to say anything on this, not because it's some big decision I decided to make, some moral quandrum. I just hadn't gotten around to it. But now I've gotten around to it. Does Nick Saban have a bit of a double standard? Does the man who's made millions and millions of dollars off the backs of college football players and by being an all-time great coach, does he have a bit of a double standard on his approach or his thoughts on NIL and basically why he said he left coaching? A man who's been around for a long time, had a lot of success. He's earned the right to do what he wants. But does he have a bit of a double standard on his approach to NIL and collegiate athletes getting paid? We're going to get to that. Corey Ross is going to be joining me. Pork Chop, one of my favorite all-time teammates. All right, former Nebraska offensive MVP, all Big 12 performer. All right, Corey Ross, former Nebraska running back, is going to be joining me at 12:30, ladies and gentlemen. And then we're going to finish talking about Caitlin Clark, okay? And it's interesting to me, because I call him Coach Gino, the UConn women's basketball coach. If you didn't know, Caitlin Clark wanted to go to UConn. He not only didn't offer her, he never spoke to her once throughout the recruiting process. So I did a deep dive into that. Not too deep of a dive, more like a medium dive. It was deeper than not deep, but not like a deep dive. So kind of like a medium dive. And I found some interesting things. Okay. So we're going to chat about all that. Now, real quick, as always, the last eight minutes of this show, the people's segment. Now, I've had so much to talk about recently. I haven't always been able to to get to everything in the people's segment, but do me a favor today. I want to reemphasize the people's segment. Call or send me your questions to 402-464-5685. Call or text 402-464-5685. You can leave them in the comments section of YouTube as well. Let's light this candle. All right. The quarterbacks, they spoke. Heinrich Harburg, Dylan Raiola, Daniel Kalen. All right. Our offensive coordinators, the co-offensive coordinators, they both spoke. Now, I'll be honest with you. Not a ton was said. You know, nothing revolutionary or shocking. Not a whole lot to talk about when it came to the quarterbacks, which I consider to be great. That works for me. I got no problem with that. Now, it was interesting. There was a little bit of debate online about whether freshmen quarterbacks in particular should speak to the media. Now, Matt Rhule's obviously let him speak, so you know his stance. I've always kind of preferred shielding freshmen who are adjusting to college, who are adjusting to being away from home. Some of them are halfway across the country. That was my experience. All new people, all new surroundings, all new everything, trying to catch up to the speed of the game, et cetera, et cetera. You know, maybe shield them from the media for a year. Okay? And if I recall, I don't believe Arch Manning spoke until going into the bowl game last year at Texas. And then there was that infamous picture of Quinn Ewers sitting there by himself while all the media was talking to Arch Manning, which was a little bit misleading. You know, I'm gonna shock you with this. You can't believe everything you see online and or read, because it came out a little bit later after that the media had already spoken to Quinn Ewers and they had just then moved on to Arch Manning. But the picture led you to believe that nobody wanted to talk to Texas's starting quarterback at the time. Wow, what a guffaw right there. I do apologize. But that was not, in fact, the case. So some people like that approach. Some people let freshmen speak. I've always kind of erred towards the approach of, you know, maybe shield them, protect them for a little bit. Maybe there's better ways to word that, but you get my point. Let them adjust to college life before they deal with microphones in front of their face. Now, I thought about that. And if we do that at the quarterback position, we've only got one quarterback who can even talk, because two of our three quarterbacks are true freshmen. So I wonder if that factored into the equation when Matt Rhule decided to let them speak. He obviously trusts Dylan, okay, and Daniel, all right, Raiola and Kalen to be able to speak eloquently. That would not have been the case with me as a freshman. I don't believe I spoke as a freshman, okay? Maybe Corey Ross can verify that or deny it. I don't know. But so it was interesting. Not a lot came from the quarterbacks when they spoke. That was newsworthy headline type stuff, which, again, I like that. I would actually argue maybe the OCs had more to say. Marcus Satterfield in particular talked about how they're kind of emphasizing the pass game. They want to improve the pass game. If you watch our offense last year, yeah, the pass game was not very good. Okay, the receivers couldn't get separation. Jalen Lloyd was really our only kind of sort of deep threat. Malachi Coleman had the one deep bomb for a touchdown. I think it was 44-yard touchdown reception, I believe, versus Northwestern. That, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of ability to stretch the defense vertically and spread them out and make them defend the whole field, whether it be consistent, accurate, deep passes from the quarterbacks, which we were not getting, and the receivers were not open. And the pass blocking from the O-line was not as good as the run blocking. So it all kind of goes hand in hand. I don't think it falls on any one person, any one individual. Now, when Marcus Satterfield said that, I agreed. But there were certain times last year when I felt like we came out and tried to throw the ball and emphasize throwing the ball. And I was like, why aren't we running the ball more? Now, we obviously ran the ball very well. We ran the ball enough. I just don't want to overemphasize one thing and forget about the other. And I don't think they're going to do that. But let's be a run-the-ball-first team and just continue to gradually improve the pass game. And if we do it more than gradually at a faster rate than that, that'd be okay too. I'm just saying, let's remain a run-first team, because I got the feeling at times last year like Marcus Satterfield wants to throw the ball a lot. We just didn't have the ability to do it consistently last year. And that's fine if we can, but let's remain a physical, blue-collar, in-your-face, smash-mouth type of football team first. And Dylan Raiola, Daniel Kalen, okay, so the Swiss knife, Heinrich Harburg, they got abilities. Obviously, Daniel and Dylan are known a little bit more for throwing the ball. If they can read the defenses, because these Big Ten D coordinators, they're going to come at them. They're going to throw exotic blitzes at them. They're going to try to confuse them. They're going to do everything they can. That is what they do for a living. And now you've got these young men who are doing this for a first time. So as long as they can make quick reads, audibles, things of that nature, I'm all for throwing the ball as much as possible, as long as we run the ball first. So those are kind of my quick thoughts on the quarterbacks, the offensive coordinators, and them speaking a little bit earlier this week. Now, if you missed it, I did put out my way too early record prediction show right on the Carriker Chronicles early this week. You can check it out on YouTube, CarrikerChronicles.com, which was interesting because I actually felt like I was late doing it. So this is obviously way too early to do a record prediction show, which is why you just kind of do it for fun, tongue in cheek, so to speak. Although I did an insane amount of research, but I felt like I was a month late because it was what, 4 to 6 weeks ago that the over under win loss total for Nebraska came out as 7.5. And here I am doing it like a month and a half later. So I actually felt late doing my way too early win loss record prediction show. But if you got nothing better to do with your life, or you just enjoyed talking Nebraska football, or maybe hearing yours truly flap my gums from time to time, you can check that out on YouTube and or CarrikerChronicles.com. All right, Keisei Tominaga. I know I'm biased. I try not to be. Everyone knows that. I don't know how successful I am at being unbiased, but I try. I try my best. One of the most entertaining, fun basketball players in college basketball history, just from an entertainment, can shoot the ball, his reactions, him being just as shocked as the ball went in as anybody else, those type of reactions, his showmanship. You know, he's one of the most fun basketball players, college basketball players I've ever had the pleasure of watching. All right. So Keisei won the three-point contest at the U.S. College three-point contest on ESPN last night. Now, the semifinals, he won 24-23 over Ohio State. Okay. Jameson Tyler.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Okay. And for a while, I thought he wasn't going to miss a shot. Like, he was just zoom, zoom, zoom. I mean, he had an extra 5-6 seconds every time. A lot of time, you watch these, the NBA All-Star three-point competition, okay, usually around, like, Valentine's. And they're usually like, they're rushing to get those final shots in. They can't get, like, Keisei, he had an extra 5-6 seconds at every rack as he was going around the three-point arc. And at one point in time, I was like, is he going to miss? Obviously, he did. He is human. You know, it is allowed. But at the last ball, I don't think they call it the money ball, whatever they call it, I forget. It's the first time I've ever watched the college basketball three-point competition. I'm used to the money ball from the NBA three-point competition, but whatever that two-point ball is at the end, he had like an extra 4 seconds, right? And he just stood there, and he just waited. I think he even threw a dribble in, and I was like, oh, my God, he's going to wait too long. And if you watch the clock, like, it leaves his hand right before it hits zero, turns around, I don't even think he watched it going in, Steph Curry-esque, Steph Curry-like, swish. Talk about epic three-point shooting skill, showmanship, and just entertainment factor. All right, so K-State wins the three-point competition. Now, I'm never going to forget his hands on the head, just shocked look celebrations. They're so fun. So this is a guy that plays with great passion, great energy, and here's why I feel it's truly entertaining. There are, you know, some folks who put on a show on purpose, and that's okay. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I find that entertaining in a different way, too, and sometimes just as entertaining, sometimes more, sometimes less. To me, Keisei's entertaining because he's so passionate, he's energetic, and it's clearly not pre-planned. Either that or he's a phenomenal actor and he needs to go start doing some starring roles out in Hollywood. I don't think that's the case. I think it's just genuine, like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe what's going on. I love playing this game, and that's how it comes across to me. And I believe it was either Rico or Jake. I can't remember. I want to say it was Rico that talked about a couple of weeks ago with me that he was a galvanizing figure for Nebraska basketball. And when we really needed it, honestly, he was a guy that was good at what he does. Okay. And there was times he was pulled out of games by Coach Hoiberg, you know, but that's just a coach, by the way, National Coach of the Year, demanding the best from his players. But he was a galvanizing figure because he's good at what he does. He's entertaining. Okay, and he helped actually bring Nebraska fans together beyond just the wins and losses on the court as well. Now, I can't help but wonder about his NBA potential. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I'm some sort of NBA draft scout expert in any way, shape, or form. But I'm obviously going to be rooting for him. He can obviously shoot. No question about any of that. You know, if I were an NBA draft scout, which would be laughable, but let's just have fun for a minute. My biggest question marks would be, can he improve defensively? Okay. And play just a little bit more explosively, right? Those would be the two biggest things. But I tell you what, he's going to be fun to watch no matter what he does, no matter where he goes, and I'm going to be rooting for him 100%. And I want to thank him for his time here at the University of Nebraska. All right, next up, Coach Fred Hoiberg, co-Big Ten Coach of the Year, but the National Coach of the Year, solo, I might add. So congratulations to Coach Hoiberg. One fan, you know, I don't know. Sometimes it does feel like the Big Ten has it out for Nebraska. And then sometimes I'm like, let's get over it. And then you win National Coach of the Year, but co-Big Ten Coach of the Year, I'm going to let it go. All right. So what? It was pretty cool how he found out. If you saw the video, it's like a two-minute video they put out. Okay. And basically his wife and his kids are the ones who told him that he won it. So I thought that was pretty cool, that it was his wife, it was his kids, it was a genuine surprise. He did not know it was coming. Probably realistically wasn't even on his radar, okay, that he had won the Coach of the Year. All right. So Coach Hoiberg, as I mentioned, was a recipient of the 2024 Jim Phelan National Coach of the Year on Thursday afternoon. All right, this award is presented annually to the nation's top Division I coach. The recipient of the annual award is determined by a 10-member voting committee, which consists of current and former head coaches, as well as two senior staff members of collegeinsider.com. Hoiberg guided the Huskers to one of the most successful seasons in program history in 2023-2024, as Nebraska went 23-11 to reach the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2014. The 23 wins were the most Nebraska. Okay, let me read that again. The 23 wins were the most since Nebraska won a school record 26 games 1990-1991. While going 12-8 in the Big Ten, the Huskers' third place finish in the Big Ten Conference was the best since joining the conference in 2011-2012. The program's best conference finish since 92-93, the good old Big Eight days. Pretty cool because Nebraska posted two wins over top 10 teams this last year, including the program's first win over a number one team since 1982. That's 2 years before I was born, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Reached the Big Ten tournament semifinals for the first time in program history for his efforts. I already mentioned this. He shared the Big Ten Coach of the Year, okay, with Purdue's Matt Painter. Hey, if Matt Painter and Purdue go on to win a national title, more power to him. I'm rooting for him because they're from the Big Ten. All right. Hoiberg is the second Husker men's basketball coach to earn the honor, as Tim Miles won it in 2014. Hoiberg was chosen from a group of 20 finalists from across the country. It marks the second straight season that a Big Ten coach has won the award, joining 2023 recipient Chris Collins of Northwestern. All right. The Jim Phelan Award is named in honor of the legendary bow-tied coach who spent his entire coaching career at Mount St. Mary's University. He led the Mountaineers to 16 Division II NCAA tournaments. Five times they advanced to the Final Four, and he led them to the Division II National Championship in 1962. When he retired in 2003 after coaching for 49 years, he had amassed 830 wins, an overall record of 830-524 in all divisions in those 49 years. Man, that's a lot of coaching. 19 of his teams amassed 20 or more wins in a season. So, again, congratulations to Coach Hoiberg. Well deserved. And I harken back to something he said towards the end of the season. He indicated, obviously we're happy to have him, but he indicated that he likes it here a lot, so much so that he could see himself finishing his career here in Lincoln at the good old University of Nebraska. Now, more good news for men's basketball yesterday. We've had some departures and things of that nature. That's just how college sports works nowadays, right? You ain't got to like it. You ain't got to love it, but it is what it is. All right. Nebraska men's basketball players Jawan Gary and Bryce Williams announced they are coming back to play for Husker basketball next season. Now, it's interesting because there's a lot of comings and goings that's still going to happen. We all know that. All right. So it got me kind of thinking about expectations for next year. And before I want to talk about expectations at all too much, I want to address some of the things that I think that could help the team, because as awesome of a season as they had, still searching for that first NCAA tournament win, all right? So for me, improving physicality down low, finding a big man down low, just overall physicality down low, but finding a centerpiece, a big man down low. And we've got some guys there right now. I'm not saying we don't. I'm just saying stepping it up a notch, improving it a notch, okay? In that last game of the year, A&M was more physical. They just were. A&M's the top offensive rebounding team in the country, so I don't think it was a surprise that they were going to be physical. I think how aggressively they went to the hoop on offense. They clearly didn't feel threatened by our interior defense. I was surprised how often they just went straight to the hoop. We need more physicality when it comes to rebounding, but when it comes to a shot-blocking presence. Okay, so I am 6'6". All right. So a lot of people ask me, why didn't you play basketball? And I've said this before other places. I didn't play basketball because 6'6 is not tall in basketball. Okay, my playing weight at Nebraska was 295. So basically, I would have been a fat guard. But here's my point. In high school, okay, I knew my role. I was cool with my role. Football and baseball were the games I was the best at. Okay, basketball, actually growing up, was the sport I won the most championships in. I was on an AAU basketball team with three future first-round draft picks on it down the road. None of them in basketball, oddly enough. But I digress. My role, I was Dennis Rodman. My role was, and I was not, in high school, I was kind of tall-esque, but I was by no means like really tall. There were plenty of guys I played against that were taller than me. But my role was rebounding, physicality, defense. And if you needed somebody hacked, I'd hack the crap out of you. That was my role. I'd get, you know, 8-10 points a game. I was cool with that. But if anybody came in the paint and I was on defense, I took it as an insult if they didn't have a hesitation in their step. If they didn't have it, they were going to get it. Now, there, if you're listening, you're probably putting together I fouled out of a few games. But I wasn't in foul trouble all the time. Just, you know, occasionally. But my point is getting more physical down low and up top. As good as the Huskers did last year, a lot of things they did really well in the men's basketball team. A little bit more explosiveness in our play, whether it be offensively or defensively. That explosive first step is something I think that would help us. And that would help us, I mean, finishing third in the Big Ten, beating two top 10 teams, a number one team, court stormings, a lot of things that went really, really well. If we can get more physical down low, a little bit more explosive up top, I think that that would really, really help men's basketball. And Keisei Tominaga is not going to be an easy guy to replace, but I'm excited to see with the National Coach of the Year and our returning Huskers and the new Nebraska basketball players can do next season. All right, ladies and gentlemen, don't go anywhere. I will be joined by my former Nebraska teammate, Corey Ross, Mr. Porkchop. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply, in-app only.